It was the roaring 20s, and the mobs ruled Chicago. Valentine's Day of 1929 would go down in history as Chicago's North Side erupted in violence. It was a crime that shocked the world. 7 members of the North Side gang were gunned down. The murders became known simply as the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Who was behind it? Rival gangs, the police, or was it an inside job? This is the story of the St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
Recorded in Rocket City, USA. No bullshit. Just real talk. And now Deuce Conrad.
St. Valentine's Day 1929 began like most other winter mornings in Chicago, with gray skies and stinging cold. I mean, it is the Windy City. A light snow like confectioner's sugar powdered the city sidewalks. Bakers and florists woke early to prepare for the crush of holiday customers. All over the city, children put the finishing touches on cards before leaving for school. George Bugs Moran was a career criminal who ran the North Side Gang in Chicago during the bootlegging era of the 1920s. He and his associates were gathered at his criminal organization's headquarters on North Clark Street. Bugs had been at war with a rival gang leader. He had fought bitterly with Scarface Al Capone for control of smuggling and trafficking operations in the Windy City. Throughout the 1920s, both survived several attempted murders. On one notorious occasion, Moran and his associates drove 6 cars past a hotel in Cicero, Illinois, where Capone and his associates were having lunch and showered the building with more than 1,000 bullets. But on this cold and snowy Valentine's Day, not everyone in Chicago was engaged in thoughts of loving kindness. Over at the Cook County Jail, guards prepared for the planned midnight execution of 3 convicted killers. On LaSalle Street, bankers and stockbrokers nervously watched their stock tickers as trading began in New York. And inside a humdrum garage at 2122 North Clark Street, in a quiet residential neighborhood, an unusually large number of hoodlums gathered for purposes unknown. Except for a single white bulb dangling from the ceiling, the big garage on Clark Street was dark, the parked trucks and cars almost lost in the vast shadowed spaces. A bit of weak winter sun filtered through the grimy front window. The garage was rented by George Bugs Moran Gang, and he had controlled much of that North Side's illegal booze traffic and ran most of its brothels and casinos. The garage was used for storage and repairs, not as a hideout or hangout, so there was only one explanation why 7 men would be there at an hour when most thugs were sleeping off the prior night's intoxicants. And it wasn't to exchange Valentines. They had a job. With the exception of the mechanic, the men all were dressed that morning in suits, ties, tie pins, and street shoes. One of them even wore a carnation. But soon they would all be dead, victims of the most infamous unsolved crime in U.S. history, the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. I bet you have been to Walmart at some time in your life and probably shopped there. I bet you even probably get groceries there from time to time. Did you know that Walmart has grocery pickup? And in fact, I can save you $15 on your first order of $50 or more. For more information, go to www.deuceconradshow.com and select promotions. There'll be a link there where you can sign up as a new customer. And again, you'll save $15 on that first order of $50 or more. Acorns is the leading micro-investing app in the United States. It's easy to use. Mobile-first technology makes it simple for anyone to set aside and invest life spare money. Acorns allows customers to automatically invest in a low-cost, diversified portfolio of exchange-traded funds offered by some of the world's top asset managers, including Vanguard and BlackRock. Customers grow their wealth in one of five portfolios constructed with help from world-renowned Nobel laureate economist Dr. Harry Markowitz. Acorn's smart portfolio algorithms automatically work in the background of life, helping users build wealth naturally, pennies at a time. From Acorns, mighty oaks do grow. Hey, I'm using Acorns, and I love how easy it is to save and invest for my future. Join me, and you'll get a free $5 investment. Go to www.deuceconradshow.com and select the promotions link, and from there, you can sign up directly with Acorns. At around 10:30 in the morning on February the 14th, a big black Cadillac turned from Webster Avenue onto Clark Street, heading south. It stopped in front of the SMC Cartage Company at 2122 North Clark Street. Four or five men got out of the car. Eyewitnesses' accounts varied on the exact number. One man, the driver, wore a fancy chinchilla top coat with a gray fedora, and two others wore police uniforms. The wind blew snow dust as they stepped across the sidewalk and into the garage through the front door. Lining up the seven men inside in front of a wall like it was a raid, the men, joined by two others dressed as civilians, pulled machine guns and other weapons from their jackets and opened fire. In a haze of sprayed machine gun fire, brick, dust, and smoke, and seven men fell. Bullets tore through flesh and sinew and lodged in the wall. Shells pinged to the ground and spun. Blood dark as motor oil surged across the cold concrete floor and slid thickly down a drain. Some men died instantly. Some gasped briefly for air. 70 bullets later, all seven men were dead or dying on the floor, soaked with blood. But let's back up. Who were the shooters and who were the victims? Seven men were inside, we know that. Johnny May, dressed in greasy brown coveralls, was lying on his back under a jacked-up truck repairing a wheel. Johnny was a former safe blower hired by Moran as an auto mechanic and one of the countless Chicagoans who could thank Prohibition and the bootlegging business for giving him a good, steady, and relatively safe career. May lived with his wife, his seven kids, and a dog named Highball, who was tied by the leash to the axle of the truck. The other six men were milling about trying to stay warm. There were the Gusenberg brothers, Frank and Peter, two of the city's most troublesome goons. James Clark, whose real name was Albert Kalachek, a convicted armed robber and reputed killer. There was also Adam Heyer, a.k.a. Frank Snyder, who was an accountant and embezzler. Albert Weinschenk, a nightclub owner and newly appointed official of the Central Cleaners and Dyers Association. And there was even an optometrist named Reinhardt H. Schwimmer, who hung around the Moran boys mostly so he could brag to his friends about his underworld connections. If Moran's gangsters were frightened by the new arrivals, they didn't show it, considering that most of the Moran men were armed. But not one reached for his weapon in time to do anything with it. Maybe they had been expecting the company. Perhaps, maybe. They knew their guest. Or could it be that seeing men in police uniforms, they decided to play it cool? Who knows? And if it was money that the officers wanted, Moran's men had plenty of it. Hey, Deuce Conrad here. I just want to tell you about Ibotta. Ibotta is one of the greatest things I have ever laid my eyes on. It's a great tool for actually earning money. And trust me, I've tried all these surveys and everything that the internet seems to say that you're going to make money, but nothing has made me money like Ibotta. In my first week of trying Ibotta, I earned approximately $40 just shopping. It's like coupon savings for people that don't like to clip coupons. Anyways, there is a link in the description of this podcast for you to become a partner with me in Ibotta. And when you submit your first receipt, you'll earn $10. That simple, that easy, just by going and shopping at places that you're already shopping, such as Walmart, Kroger, Publix. And it's easy to cash out as well. You can get gift cards to Amazon or have a direct payment made to you. Anyways, check the link down below. Use the referral code KAXRFWJ and earn $10 on your first receipt submitted. Did you know that for the simple task of creating a Webull brokerage account, the company is willing to give you one free stock? Now, these stocks are currently being valued between $2.50 all the way up to $250, which is not bad when you consider that it's free money. Now, once you make an initial deposit of $100 or more, Webull will then give you a second stock valued between $8 and $1,600. Now, you will have access to these stocks as soon as your deposit settles, which usually takes around 5 business days. The stock selection pool is comprised of securities that have a market cap of $2.5 billion. They're U.S.-based, and of course, they trade on the New York Stock Exchange or NASDAQ. Their website states that when you open your account, you have a 1 in 100 chance of being awarded securities from either Facebook, Procter & Gamble, Starbucks, or Snap. However, when you deposit that initial $100, you have a 1 in 50 chance to garner a stock from a list of companies to include Google, Facebook, Procter & Gamble, Starbucks, Kraft Heinz, or Snap. Now, in addition to these odds, the terms of service go further on to explain your chances of ending up with securities of a certain value. Both your initial stock and the stock you receive after your deposit have different odds that you should be aware of. Go to www.deuceconradshow.com, select the promotion links, and from there you can sign up directly with Webull. Even until this day, some believe that Capone himself was behind the massacre. You see, a $50,000 bounty on Capone's head was the final straw for the gangster, and that he ordered that the Moran's gang be destroyed. On February 14th, a delivery of bootleg whiskey was expected at Moran's headquarters, but Moran was late and happened to see police officers entering his establishment. And so he waited outside, thinking that his gunmen inside were being arrested in a raid. However, the disguised assassins were actually killing the 7 men inside. Out on Clark Street, neighbors heard popping noises, some of which they took for the sound of a backfiring engine. Others heard the desperate howling of a dog. A few peered out of their windows in time to see men leaving the garage and getting into the Cadillac. It looked as if two cops were leading two or three other men, possibly at gunpoint. The automobile sped south on Clark Street, zigzagging to avoid a trolley, and then disappeared from view somewhere around Armitage Avenue. Soon, one of the neighbors walked over to the garage and pushed open the door. He spotted mutilated bodies on the floor and inhaled the stench of blood. Smoke still hung in the air. The dog Highball continued howling. 6 men were dead. The 7th, Frank Gusenberg, was still alive. Sergeant Thomas J. Loftus, a veteran of the 36th District Station, responded first to the call. After moving a bunch of neighbors away from the bodies, he spotted Frank Gusenberg, shot 14 times but hanging on. "Do you know me, Frank?" the sergeant asked. "Yes, you're Tom Loftus," the gangster said between gulps of air. Then Gusenberg added, "I won't talk," as if he knew from experience the copper's next question. But after sucking more air, Gusenberg, according to some newspaper accounts, did talk briefly. "Cops did it," he said. Loftus Press for details but got none. "For God's sake," said Gusenberg, "get me to a hospital." He got to the hospital, and it was there that he died without further comment. The raid's cold-blooded efficiency left the public in shock, and the St. Valentine's Day massacre came to symbolize gang violence in the Windy City. It confirmed popular images associating Chicago with mobsters, crime, and spectacular carnage. At Robinhood, we think investing is better with friends. So for everyone you invite to join, you'll both earn a reward of stock. As soon as your friend signs up and links their bank account, we'll credit each of your accounts with a reward stock. Now keep in mind, you can receive up to $500 in reward stocks each calendar year. So feel free to spread the word. Go to www.deuceconradshow.com and select the promotions link, and from there you can sign up directly with Robinhood today. Was Capone behind this massacre? Was this a work of Al Capone? You see, Moran was the only thing in the way of Capone's criminal syndicate and its quest to dominate over all the gang activity in the entire city of Chicago. Now, the two gangs had been at odds for months, Moran's gang hijacking Capone's shipments, killing his allies, and providing competition for business. Sure, he might have wanted to hurt Moran, given their competing interest in booze and gambling, the thinking went. But Moran also had plenty of other enemies around town. And when the news of the crime broke later that day, all suspicions fell immediately on Al Capone. Frank Hawk Gusenberg, Moran's enforcer, was the only one still alive when law enforcement arrived at the garage. But as you know, he refused to reveal anything before he died from his injuries several hours later. Moran himself, who wasn't at the warehouse at the time, said that only Capone kills like that when he was told. It is suspected that Moran was the intended target of the massacre, but he arrived later than the others, and because he saw the fake police officers entering the warehouse and fled the scene thinking it was a raid. But where was Al Capone? Al Capone himself was in Florida at the time, giving him an ironclad alibi. No one was ever arrested or tried for these crimes due to the lack of distinct evidence. But the massacre was eventually accredited to Capone's gang. In fact, the massacre led to the diminishment of Moran as a figurehead in the Chicago gang circuit, leaving Capone to completely rule over the city through his syndicate until he was arrested and convicted of tax evasion in 1931. So many questions remain unanswered. What we do know is that a tragedy happened on Valentine's Day, 1929. 7 men lost their lives. Now, one could argue that it was extermination of some of Chicago's most violent criminals. And perhaps that's true. But nonetheless, it put fear in most Chicagoans during that time. It put fear across the world because the mob feared the night. And if this could happen to one of Chicago's most powerful gangs, it could happen to anyone. But more importantly, on Valentine's Day 1929, the public lost trust. They lost trust in public safety. Was it the cops behind this, or was it the work of Al Capone. No one knew. And, truth be told, we may never know who was behind the massacre on St. Valentine's Day, 1929. Until next time, I'll see you then. Thank you for listening to the Deuce Conrad Show on Spotify Podcast. In case you didn't know, you can also hear this podcast on Google Podcast and Apple Podcast and most podcast platforms across the web. For more information about tonight's show, you can also visit www.deuceconradshow.com. Visit show notes for more details.